Wonderful. Well, I have a few announcements for you. Top of the list is our quarterly newsletters available today out in the lobby. You know, those, I trust you read those things. We work awful hard on putting them together, so I hope somebody reads them. And, you know, yesterday I was reminded I was out speaking the word to a gentleman. And as you know, if you're a part of this fellowship, we don't really promote and advertise. We don't have billboards with our phone number on it and things like that. But, you know, occasionally you encounter somebody who responds to the Word of God and they want to know more about where you learned it and where, you know, where they can learn it. And I realized yesterday, once again, I have nothing to give them except to scroll down my phone number or maybe try to give them directions to this place. And, you know, those newsletters aren't a bad thing to get an extra copy or two of and keep them in your glove compartment or somewhere like that, because I know that all of you speak God's word to people and encounter people who want to know more. And of course, we don't promote our church, we promote God and his word, but sometimes they want to learn more about where you learned it, and it's a good way of giving them a quick snapshot anyway of what we're about and what we're not about. So, you know, it's a good thing to have handy. I wished yesterday I had had one and kicked myself for not, you know, for the umpteenth time when I've thought about getting one. By the end of the meeting, I get caught up in saying hi to people, and then I walk out and I realize I missed it again. So it's okay with us if they grab two, right, Sherry? Sherry doesn't mind. You can always print more, right? Yeah, down there in the basement, she and Bill crank them out. So, but you could print a couple more, right? Put the typeset back and the, okay, good. So that's available in the lobby anyway. We also have another men's prayer breakfast coming up this Saturday, the 11th at 9 a.m. We have a leaders meeting tomorrow night at 7:30. If you're a part of those, you're familiar with the details of that. Also, from the CD department, didn't know we had one, but I guess we do. Now I know we've got one. Their office is right where my office is, which is like, it's a, what do they call it, a virtual office. That means you don't really have one. from the CD department. Due to technical difficulties with the CD from September 14th, I have yet to find out what those were, but I imagine if you got the CD from September 14th, you know what those technical difficulties were. The CD was redone. We've got plenty available to replace any that were purchased the first time around and had problems. It's CD number 584. So if you had problems with yours, you can bring it back, and they'll replace it with a good one. And that's all I know about that. So if you have more questions, talk to somebody from the CD table, because that's all I know. I always talk to my guys who are up here doing meetings about be prepared on your announcements. I was totally unprepared for this when I'm reading it, and I realize I don't know anything about this. I don't know what the technical difficulty was. All I know is what I got on the piece of paper. So if you have a problem with the CD, you know, let them know. I suppose, is Diane in here? Okay, if we have people from out of town, they'll get this announcement. They could send the bad one in, right? Or they could just let us know, and we'll send them. Did you? Okay, good. See, you're 10 steps ahead of me. Okay. If you forget about 90% of what I just said, just remember, you can turn that CD in and get a good one, all right? Also, Family Camp 2008 CD sets are ready for pickup. If you remember, we registered for those. People reserved those at Family Camp. Sometimes I catch some flack for that. But, you know, there's a reason for that. And maybe this is a good time to explain it once again. Sometimes Christians get the notion that if I miss one CD or if I miss one weekend or if I miss one meeting, you know, they get curious about what I missed out on. And, you know, if you look at God's word, there's a fine line between spiritual hunger and what God's word calls itching ears. So I'm of the opinion that, you know, if family camp came up and you went to the Heavenly Father and you just felt in your soul it wasn't something you needed to be a part of, then why in the world would you need the CDs from it? Other than to find out what you missed. But, you know, God's word is alive, right? God's word is alive. The life in God's word isn't because of the particular teaching or the particular location. It's certainly not the particular teacher. You know, God is well able to feed us via His Word, whether we get every CD or not. Now, that being said, I think the Sunday CDs, those of you who get those, I think if there's anything that's vital to our church, it's those, because in addition to the Word being taught week after week, I believe God works in our teachers to minister to the needs within our church week after week. So, you know, those are great to get according to your free will. But every event that we do, some of them aren't even recorded. And the ones that are, some we don't make available at all. Some we make available to those who were there. You know, primarily a lot of things, folks, we just record because people might be at that event and just be spaced out that day, and I don't want them to feel bad for missing what they missed, or they may be serving in other capacities like taking care of our children, and we want to give them a chance. But the idea that everything that we do here has to be recorded and passed out to everybody is really a notion that you would be hard-pressed to support biblically, you know? You know, the Apostle Paul went a lot of places and taught, if you read the book of Acts, and he in no way implies that the really good Christians ought to follow him around from town to town like deadheads so they don't miss a message. It's the gospel, it's the doctrine that's essential, and if we're getting that and teachers are helping us to get that, that's wonderful. But, oh, do you understand? That's why at times we don't make these available beyond a certain limit. It's not to hurt anybody's feelings or to cause anybody to miss out, but it's really because, you know, those of us who make those decisions really in our souls don't believe that it's something that's essential for the whole church. If it is, we make it available. You'll find some CD sets there in the bookstore that are always available, and they're always available because we realize this is something that people ought to have access to, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their need might be. Beyond that, these teachings are wonderful. Hopefully they're accurate and they're a blessing to everybody. But the idea that they have to be perpetuated forever is really something I think man has come up with, because man values his own words and his own teaching and his own presentation and his own angle on the scriptures really more than God's word does. Do you understand? So any of you who are wondering how come I can't get a set, that's why. And you know, honestly, if you really believe God wants you to hear that stuff, and it's Him working in your soul, you probably know somebody who has a set. You know, we haven't told anybody, you're not allowed to share them with anyone. So if you really want to listen to them, you know, talk to your friends who were there and borrow their set or listen to it with them, okay? Simple enough? Good. That's a lot more than was on here too, Sherry. But, well, now that the announcements are done with, you're tired of hearing me talk, and that's good, because we're going to have a wonderful teacher from God's Word, and I'm so blessed this morning, because the lady that I asked to teach us God's Word this morning is one who you don't see very much, because, and the reason you don't see her very much is because her work really is so essential. She is the point man in our work with the children, and some of you guys aren't too far removed from that, are you? Yeah. Can you remember being in Children's Fellowship? Way back when, like a year ago. I'm so thankful for this woman who's going to be teaching us God's Word, because she has really gotten the vision for this thing, and I think inspired those who work with her to carry out that same vision. If your children are growing in God's Word due to their exposure to Children's Fellowship, the woman who's going to be teaching us God's Word this morning is one of the primary people to thank for that. So we're going to hear from Amy Melland, but before she comes up, we're going to sing one more song. Why don't you stand, please? Turn to number 82. Another place that we are, hopefully, by our freedom of will, we're standing on a solid rock. Sherry?
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thanks, Tom, for asking me. It's a real great privilege. And I think the things that we're going to see in God's Word this morning are going to really help us get to know our Heavenly Father better and therefore learn to love Him more. So at family camp this year, we learned a lot of different attributes about God. We learned that God is love. God is light. Sorry. Okay. God is faithful. He's living. He's holy. Well, we're going to learn about another attribute of God this morning, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Didn't read my notes, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, He comforts us in all our tribulation. We're going to be looking at what that word comfort means and a little bit more about what tribulation means. Tom taught last week and a little bit about the trouble or the tribulation, the pressure, and we're going to be looking at that in a little bit more detail this morning. So we're going to get into a couple little Greek words here, nothing to be afraid of or anything, and we're going to make sure that we look at the context with which they're used. Like Tom said last week, you get into trouble if you do a word study and you never look at the verses around the word you're looking at. So we're going to make sure we do a good job this morning looking at the context so we can see how God uses the word. And so the Greek word here is the noun paraklesis, and the corresponding verb in verse 4 is parakaleo. And the basic meaning of that word is to call to one side, to call near. And specifically, we're going to see this morning as this calling near, to call to one side, and using words to encourage the person to pursue a course of conduct, using words to help encourage them. And it's similar to, well, the word comfort, when we think of the word comfort, we think of to soothe or to console. You scrape your knee and you get some ointment out and a Band-Aid on it, and oh, okay, that feels better. And in the modern English usage of this word comfort, that's what we think of when we hear the word comfort. But actually, when we're going to see from God's word that it means more to encourage, using words to encourage a course of conduct, to pursue some course of conduct. And it's like a coach who has some kind of a sports team. He doesn't call them over to the sidelines to say, "Oh, and you'll be okay. Don't worry about it," kind of thing. No, in the middle of the game, he's calling them over, and he's urging them on to play harder, to run faster, to jump higher, to forget their pain, and just to keep going. That's what a coach does, and that's similar to how this word is used, and we'll see that from the scriptures this morning. In some different ways that this word is translated in the King James Version is beseech, desire, entreat, entreaty, exhort, exhortation, and consolation. Like, consolation is not really a word that we use too much in our modern English. And when Tom was talking about philipsis last week, that Greek word for trouble or tribulation, it's the same Greek word, but it gets translated different ways, and sometimes you miss the emphasis when that happens. Hold your finger here in 2 Corinthians, and we'll look at several places where this word is used. We're going to go to Matthew. Three of them are in Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That word beseeching there is our word we're looking at this morning. It's not to comfort, to soothe, or console. He's actively going to Jesus and asking for something, for him to do something for him. And then in verse 31, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Our word here, besought, is this same Greek word, paraklesis. It's asking for him to do something for him. And then in verse 34, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. They didn't come to Jesus to console and to soothe him. No, they came to him, say, please get out of our coast. Leave immediately. You see, and we'll look at one more in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 31. This is concerning Philip and the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, who was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And in verse 30 it says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And that's our word desired there is our word paraklesis. You see, so it calling to one side using words to urge them to pursue some course of conduct. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read further on in the passage here. And what we're going to do is, for the sake of clarity in this teaching, we're going to just pick one English word that we use commonly, and that is the word encouragement. And if you, as you're studying the word, if you'd feel more comfortable with using exhortation or consolation, one of those other words, that's okay. But for the sake of clarity for this teaching, we're going to use encouragement, okay? So I'm going to read through the passage here, and instead of using the word comfort and consolation, I'm going to insert the word encouragement, because that's what it means, okay? So starting in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage them which are in any trouble by the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our encouragement also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be encouraged, it is for your encouragement and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the encouragement. So the verse 6 here, NIV, has it a little clearer, and I'd like to read that. In the NIV, it says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So this encouragement that comes from God helps us patiently endure, you see? And also in verse 5 here, it says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. It says the magnitude of the encouragement is proportional to the pressure. If you have 10 gallons of pressure applied to your life, you can be certain that God is going to have 10 gallons of encouragement there for you. And Paul goes on to talk about this pressure that he was facing in verse 8 here. For we would not brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And this pressure that Paul faced, that he was able to deal with because of the encouragement that he received from God, was pretty intense. And maybe some of us have dealt with a lot of pressure in our life, maybe some to the extent that the Apostle Paul did. But we don't have to ever be afraid that we're going to face pressures in our life that are so big for us that we're just going to crater. Because God is faithful. No matter how great the pressure we take on in our life, God's word, his encouragement is equal to that, and we can stand and we can patiently endure. I wanted to read verse 8 in the NIV to describe a little better this pressure that Paul was facing. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. And in the Revised Standard Version, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. You know, and as we live for God in this life, this wonderful life that we have to live with him, we are going to face pressures, and they're going to be great at times, but God is faithful, and he will always have the encouragement there for us that we need so we can stand faithfully through those pressures. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2, same chapter, and turn over to verse 12. Remember last week where Tom was talking about Titus and Paul and the rest that Titus brought to Paul? In verse 13 of chapter 2, Paul said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. And over in, turn the page, or a couple chapters more, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, Titus finally arrived. And it says here, beginning in verse 4, 7 verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, that's our word, I am filled with encouragement. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that encourages those that are cast down, encouraged us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the encouragement wherewith he was encouraged in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. And then over in verse 13, therefore we were encouraged in your encouragement, yea, and exceedingly more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. It was nice to hear that the Corinthians, we hear a lot of bad stuff that they did, but it was nice to hear that the Corinthians did good stuff too. And they encouraged Titus, and he in turn was able to encourage the Apostle Paul. And in the midst of all of Paul's tribulation, he was joyful. And that can be us too. As we bear up under the pressures of this life and we avail ourselves of the encouragement that comes from God, that we can be joyful too in all our tribulation. Okay, now we're going to look a little bit at the word tribulation. And Tom covered it last week a little bit, and it's the Greek word thlipsis, and it basically means pressure. And it can be a physical pressure, or it can be a mental pressure too. So we'll look at two of those, and they're both in the book of John, John chapter 16. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 21. This is speaking of physical pressure here. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. That word anguish is our word thlipsis, which is pressure. And any of you ladies who've had a baby know about that pressure. And it definitely is a pressure. Now over in verse 33, we see Jesus Christ speaking, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That's a verse we don't like to read. We don't like to be reminded. We wish that it wasn't true sometimes, that living in this world, we cannot escape it. We are going to have tribulation, but we can't forget not to be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. It doesn't matter, no matter how great the pressures get, no matter how great the hardships, the battle for your soul and mine has been won. Nothing will ever, ever separate us from his love, no matter how much pressure we're under, you see? So I like the end part of that verse, how we can be of good cheer. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Thessalonians received God's word in much pressure, in much affliction, it says, but also with joy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 6. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And over, speaking of the same people in chapter 3, in verse 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you or encourage you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted, we were encouraged over you all in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." You see, these afflictions, these pressures come from the tempter. Who would want us to quit believing? Who would want to just pressure us out of quit living for God so that our faith is just gone by the wayside? You know, it's our adversary, the devil. When Jesus is speaking to Peter, remember, he says, "Satan desires to have you and to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fails not." That's what Satan wants. He wants our faith. He wants us to give up. He wants to pour the pressure on so we just become like, he just neutralize us so we are not living for God anymore. He wants us to be discouraged and give up. See, so God, who encourages us in all our tribulation, he gives us words to believe, because that's what we need in the face of temptation. Remember Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness those four times? How did he resist temptation? It was with God's written word. Four different temptations, four different sections of God's word that he responded to the temptation with. You see, so these pressures that come from life come from our adversary, the devil. They come from living in this world, and the goal, his goal is he wants us to give up. He wants our faith. So that's what it's talking about in 2 Corinthians 1. The God of all encouragement, encourages us with his word in all the pressures we face so we can patiently endure, resist temptation, and keep standing fast in the Lord. So it's up to us to take these words that we hear, take heed, and to hide them deep in our heart, and not to let them go. So we don't turn into like the guy in Mark 4 who had no root in himself. When the pressures and the persecutions came, he was immediately offended and he stumbled and fell. See, it's not, God is on our side. He is bending over backwards to help us to always know his word, because that's what we need in the face of temptation. And he's bountifully provided it for us. So we would be so smart to take that word and hide it deep in our hearts and just cling to it and never let it go. Realize that they are words from God and they are going to help us stand in this life. And so we see from God's word that he encourages us through several different avenues. And the first one we're going to look at is his written word. So let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the encouragement of the scriptures might have hope. Those things were written to us, you see. And it might be well worth your while to look at this verse in the context with which it's placed. In Romans 14 and 15 here, him that is, chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations. And in chapter 15, verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And then our verse here, where through the patience and encouragement of the scriptures might have hope. Now verse 5, now the God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So this God of all encouragement, Paul is praying that he would grant us to be like-minded one toward another. So we see that we get these words of encouragement from the written word here. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, and Paul is speaking to Timothy here, giving him instructions. Starting with verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, or for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort or encourage with all long-suffering and doctrine. You see, these written scriptures that Timothy knew from infancy, Paul is exhorting him, is encouraging him to encourage one another with that written word, with the scriptures. Another avenue that God encourages us with his word is through the manifestations of Holy Spirit, which we got to hear this morning. So let's look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The context of this section here is talking about how the worship manifestations are to be used in the church when we're all together. And we won't go into all the detail of that, but specifically speaking about prophecy in verse 3. He that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. Our exhortation word here is our word paraklesis. And here we have another word, comfort. Oh, God does give us comfort. Oh, I wish God gave us comfort. Well, he does, you see. So we're going to look a little bit at that word, comfort. Many places it's used in the word, it's really talking about encouragement. But here it really is talking about comfort. And it's talking about to soothe or to console. Like when the Jews went to comfort Mary and Martha when Lazarus died, that word is used there to comfort them. And I brought a little picture here to show, a couple little pictures to show the difference between the comfort and the encouragement. And the comfort here is, it's always looking back, it's retrospective. It's, you need to be soothed or consoled because of stuff that's happened in the past. And here I got a little picture, not everybody's going to be able to see it probably, but it's a little girl. And she fell off her bike and skinned her knee. You see, so what does she need? She needs to have somebody come up and put the Band-Aid on and give her a hug and say, oh, okay, it's okay. She needs to be soothed and consoled. Well, God in his word also encourages us. And here's a picture I got to show you how that might work. And what it is, it's a mom, little girl fell off her bike, but here, get back on the bike, keep riding. No, it wasn't so bad. You can do it, you see. So I thought that might help you understand the difference between those two. So verse 3, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort, encouragement and comfort. And like the words we heard this morning, they are words that we need to hear in the face of our pressures and our temptation, and specifically that we need to hear. We heard things like, cast all your cares upon me. Don't trust the world or your senses. My face is ever before you. I'm trustworthy. My word is trustworthy. I'm a faithful God. None of my words will fail. I never lie. Those are words that encourage us to keep going and despite the pressures of the world and to patiently endure, see? So another avenue that we're going to talk about, one more avenue that God uses to get us his word, and that is through the gift ministries in the church. And we will start, you can turn to Romans chapter 12. When we're born again, we all have certain things in common. One Lord, one Spirit, one Father, one faith. But in the church, there's things that God gives us that are unique in our service. Each one of us has a special way of serving in the church that comes from God. And it's a supernatural ability that God gives us to serve. And we're going to see that this encouragement that is so important that God has put in his written word in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, he's also given us gifts of his grace within the church. It must be pretty important to God. And in Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that encourages on encouraging. God has placed certain members in the body of Christ that is the special gift to the church, their special area of service of encouragement. And I just think that is wonderful. And someone in the book of Acts that may have had this ministry, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to just go over it for your consideration. You can think about it. Is Barnabas, and it's in Acts 4, verse 36. when Barnabas was born, his parents named him Joseph. You see, verse 36. And Jonas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or the son of encouragement, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Joseph, when he was born, Barnabas, he was born, he was named Joseph, and the apostles named him Barnabas, which is the son of encouragement. Wow. How would you like to have your fellowship leader change your name? Bill, you're not Bill anymore. You're Lover. You know, Will, your name is not Will anymore. Your name is Giver. Lauren, your name isn't Lauren anymore. Your name is the Healer. Wouldn't that be neat? Every time someone said your name, boy, I'm going to be encouraged. This guy's around. So it's a possibility that he may have had one of those ministries. Look over in Acts 11, and we'll see a little bit about what Barnabas did. Acts 11, verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. So I thought that was a neat little look into Barnabas' life there. Okay, so God has made bountiful provision for us to have his written word from the manifestations, and words from the gift ministries in the church. So what is our part? We can take these words of encouragement from God and pass them on to others so they can be encouraged. Remember in 2 Corinthians 1:4, you don't have to turn there. He encourages us in all our tribulation that we may be able to encourage them which are in any trouble. Remember that? These words that we get from God, we can pass them on to others. So let's look at we're going to look at a couple examples of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And before we read the context, I want to look at verse 18. It says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's our word, encourage, there. "Wherefore, encourage one another with these words." What are these words that we are to encourage one another with? So let's go back, beginning in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." The sleep here is speaking of death. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the Lord to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, encourage one another with these words." Wow, that is a great encouragement. When someone dies, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as others who have no hope, because we have God's word to believe, and we know what's coming. And then let's look at over one more book in chapter 5. Another thing that we can comfort one another, encourage one another, is in verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a day of wrath coming, but we're going to be gone. We'll already be caught up with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that have died in Christ are going to be there with us. We are not going through the wrath. There is a wrath coming, but we are not appointed to that wrath. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, encourage yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We need to keep these words in our mind to encourage one another, new people that we meet. Hey, there's a day of wrath coming, but I know a way out. And that will encourage them, you see. So it's so important that God has done so much for us to make sure we know his word, made so great a provision for us to know his word and to have it. It's really up to us to really cherish that word and hold it in our hearts and in our minds so we can be in a position so that we can encourage one another. And I want to go to one more verse this morning, and it's in Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to them that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Well, I would like to present to you, Isaiah had the Spirit of God upon him. We have the Spirit of God within us. We have his written word. We can have the tongue of the learned also. We can have those words where we can speak a word to them that are weary, a word in season to them that are weary. If we take his words and hide them deep in our heart, we'll be in a position to speak those words in season to him that is weary. So, in summary, God is a God of all encouragement who encourages us in all our tribulation. The pressures we face in this life are simply temptations to try to get us to quit believing. God is faithful to give us exactly the right words to believe in every situation of temptation so we can patiently endure, resist temptation, and keep standing fast in the Lord. There is no amount of pressure we will face in this life that cannot be weathered because the words God gives us to believe are sufficient. We saw that God's words can come to us via his written word or by those who have his Holy Spirit and speak for him. We can repeat these words that come from him to others so they can be encouraged too. So as Hannah taught a couple weeks ago about how Joshua and Paul stood faithfully their whole lives. And I know there's many of us in this room that's just a passion in our life. We don't want a creator. We want to live faithfully for him every moment of the rest of our lives. When we've seen what Jesus Christ has done for us and how much God has done for us, we just want to live for him and we want to do it our whole life. Well, it is totally within our grasp to do so. God has made bountiful provision for us. There's no pressure we'll ever face that will ever keep us from doing that if we'll just take his word and cling to it and just never let it go. Okay? Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, you know, since God at Calvary brought us out of the pit, set us under his wings, and placed us in the body of Christ, today we endeavor to stand on the solid rock, right? I'm so blessed with what Amy taught because, you know, as she handled in Thessalonians in particular, perhaps the greatest encouragement God gives us in his word to help us continue standing in this life is that the reality is about what awaits us in the future. You know, Christ coming back for us and what's going to occur at that time, what we're going to be a part of when he comes back and what we're not going to be a part of when he comes back. Thessalonians handles both of them, as Amy shared. And perhaps the greatest encouragement God gives in his word for believers to enable them to continue standing is those realities in the word about what awaits us in the future and what no longer awaits us in the future. Because of that, since God at Calvary brought us out of the pit, put us under his wings, set us in the body of Christ, and we're endeavoring to stand on the solid rock, let's remember in number 97, even if we're not always successful at standing on the solid rock, the day is coming when we're all going to get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that'll be, right, Sherry? Okay. Because you've got a big gap in the middle. We're going to let you have your own moment on this final chorus, okay? When we all get the, what did David do? That will be? That will be when we all see you. The sing and shout the victory. Can you handle that? Here's your moment to shine. Right before we all go home, here we go. Last verse. Intro. Okay.